Let us turn our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3. And the title of the message today is, What is Faithful Service? 1 Samuel chapter 3. All Christians will receive the call of God if they are truly born again. There is a call unto salvation, and together with the call unto salvation, there will also be the call unto service. There is no such thing as a Christian who is a secret agent. And this we learned just not long ago, just last week. We had the message that was preached to us before the Lord's Supper, Why are you here? And we are told in no uncertain terms that Christians are here in this world because they are supposed to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. They are to bear a good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ has ascended into heaven. He is physically not present here. How then may people be able to see the light of Christ in this world? It will be the light of Christ that is found in every Christian. And we are therefore not to put the light under a bushel. We are in fact to let the light shine brightly in this world that people may see the light and come to know who this Lord Jesus Christ is. And when they come to know who the Lord Jesus Christ is and they place their trust in the Messiah, they will glorify the Father who art in heaven. We are also told in other portions of the scripture that Christians, every single Christian are part of the body of Christ. And every single Christian is given at least one spiritual gift. And they are called specifically to particular areas assigned to them by God so that they may serve faithfully in order to build up the body of Christ. The question then is this: what does it mean to serve faithfully? What exactly is faithful service? In today's passage, 1 Samuel chapter 3, we will see some elements of what exactly is faithful service. 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 1, we have verse 1, right, onwards. What we will have first is the call to faithful service. And this will be none other than the call to faithful service of the young child called Samuel. Now, when we talk about the call to faithful service of the young child Samuel, please do not take this call as what you see here and expect everybody to be called exactly in the same way. The call for Samuel to faithful service is very specific. If you take a look at how, for example, King Saul was called to be the king, it was also the call, the way he is called is also very different. You look at how King David was called, is also called differently. You look at how Peter was called. You look at how Matthew was called. You look at how Isaiah was called. All of them are called by God to their various areas of service via different circumstances and means. But certain elements of the call can be seen common in every one of their servants that are called by God. Here, the child Samuel is called specifically in the time of the judges to be the last judge of Israel and also to be the first prophet. Now, we know that he's called to be the first prophet, but if you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 20. And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Now, when he says that Samuel was the first prophet, please do not think that he is the first prophet in the whole Bible. Right? The first time the word prophet was used is in fact the man called Abraham. Remember Abraham? We had studied the life of Abraham before. Right? He was called prophet. Moses was also called prophet, right? Aaron was also called a prophet unto Moses. Now, down here, Why is Samuel called the first prophet is because he's going to be the first out of the many, many, many prophets that will be sent into the kingdom of Israel during the monarchy. And these prophets, they will be sent into the monarchy for very specific purposes, namely to rebuke the people of God. Now, if the people of God has been living aright, if the kings have been ruling according to what is written in the first five books of Moses, if the priests have been faithfully discharging their duties in terms of the religious service as well as teaching of God's word, if the people were obedient to following the law of God, then there will be no need for prophets. But because the kings were derelict in ruling the nation according to what is specified by God in His word, and the priests were derelict in their duty, and because the leaders failed the children of Israel, causing the people also to follow their leaders, so therefore God have to raise up this whole generation of prophets in order to rebuke the people. And what they will do, their function will be twofold. Number one, to foretell, and foretell would usually referring the people back to what has been said in His word, and then rebuking, admonishing, as well as encouraging the people based on what has already been written before. Then there will also be another portion of their ministry, which would be foretelling, for meaning looking ahead, looking forward, and so it will be referring to the future. And sometimes the foretelling would refer to prophecies that can be very immediate in nature, almost happening immediately, just like what we will see in 1 Samuel chapter 3. It can be of intermediate fulfillment. That means not so much in the particular lifetime, but shortly after perhaps it will occur, or it could be in the very distant future, distant fulfillment. Right? And so the prophet would then serve as the spokesman, as the speaker, right, to speak whatever the Lord has placed into his heart to speak. Whatever the Lord asked him to speak, that he will speak. That will be the function of the prophet. And that is what young child Samuel will be called to. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And so the first thing that we see in the call here is that there is really certain circumstances whereby such a man needed to be raised. There is, in a way, a requirement, a need for this man. A need, isn't it? Now, this was the time of the judges whereby everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And we have already seen earlier from the first two chapters of Samuel how derelict the priesthood was like during those days, isn't it? Now, during this time in 1 Samuel, still no king, but you have the priesthood. And the priesthood was very derelict. You have the sons of Eli, right, who were abusing the Levitical system for their own gain, to feed their own stomachs. And not only just that, but they also commit prostitution before the Lord, making people to hate the Levitical service, whereas the Levitical service was supposed to point people towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, the sons of Eli were called the sons of Belial, good for nothing. Not one good can proceed out of them. And to top it all up, Eli, who is supposed to be the high priest, did not restrain his sons. He, at least what he should do is to sack them. But he allowed them to carry on, and he knew that all these things were being done in the temple, and yet he refused to take any action. He simply just chided them a little bit, and then just let them continue in their business. It was in such times whereby the Lord says the word of the Lord was precious, was rare in those days because there was no open vision. It was not manifest. Why? Because there was a scarcity of faithful men. There was a scarcity of men who were close to the Lord. And when the Lord looks at the nation of Israel, he says, now, which is a person that is a clean vessel that I can use to bring blessing to my people. And then he look around and then he can find none. And so when he can find none, therefore what you have here is the scarcity of God's word. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision, right? No one to go about rebuking the people. And not only just that, but indeed you can see based upon the conduct of the sons of Eli, that probably and most likely that the word of the Lord in those days was also hardly taught. In fact, if you study the last few pages of Judges and you see how derelict the judges, the priests were in those days, who were supposed to be teachers of God's word, you know that the people probably received almost zero kosong of God's word. But God have mercy upon his people. And God is going to use this young child Samuel to minister to the nation of Israel. And the preparation for the young child Samuel actually began even before this chapter, isn't it? Based upon the circumstances in which the young child Samuel was born, he was already vowed to be a Nazarite, and then he was put into the priestly ministry. And then he was blessed with a godly mother who will always remind him, look, Samuel, you have this special calling to go into this priestly ministry because this is the circumstances in which you are born. And then the mother will always give him that little effort to remind him, look, this is the dignified and serious nature of the call of a priest that in which you are supposed to go to. Little Samuel, don't forget. And then from a very young age, once he was weaned, he was already put into the service of the temple to be under Eli. This was the training ground for young Samuel. And this was a man which we have studied before. The scriptures often use the word but, telling us that this young Samuel stood in contrast with the sons of Eli. Even from a very young age, and in 1 Samuel chapter 3, you will realize that he was perhaps just a teenager. Even as a teenager, his conduct stood in stark contrast with the sons of Eli. He was one who was truly faithful. He was one who was truly walking close to the Lord. He was one who did not mess about with any duty which he was given. And in fact, you can see, based upon the calling given here, that this young Samuel was probably one that was very submissive to authority, so long as it's not against God's word. And he was one who was very humble. This is the type of people that God will call and use for faithful service. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was and Samuel was laid down to sleep. So what happened was this. Eli, right, being at night, he decided to lay down. At the same time, we are informed by the biblical writers that at this point of time, Eli was probably getting really very old. And then his eyes has really some problem in seeing. He cannot see clearly. Like the vision was dim, clouded. And then at the same time, before the lamp of God went out. Now, this lamp of God will refer to the lamps that were placed around the tabernacle. And what the priest was supposed to do was this. The lamps are supposed to be lighted in the morning, and then they were supposed to be kept burning, and they'll be left burning until the oil runs out at night. And so by the time the oil runs out at night, you know that it's really in the very deep night. Okay? And so Samuel, right, just before the Lamb of God went out, that means just before the very deep night, he himself went to lay down to sleep. Now, look at this. That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." Well, this phrase, "Here am I," seems to be a phrase that keeps repeating itself with many of the faithful saints. Now, in fact, it's just one word, Hineni, here am I. Abraham, when God talked to him, here am I. Isaiah, here am I. Samuel, also here am I. Well, maybe right, this is really the mark of a good, humble, and submissive man. Here am I, very ready to receive instruction. Now, of course, he thought that that instruction came from Eli. And don't forget, this instruction which comes from Eli is at the late of the night. Now, of course, based on this, we probably know that Samuel may have probably been an assistant to Eli, because Eli really could not see very well. Nevertheless, late at night, you just imagine, late at night, suddenly somebody call you. Sometimes even husband and wife, you know, the wife needs some help, and then call the husband at late of the night. Darling, what? Darling, what? Right? Now you just imagine this one, Samuel, late at night, suddenly somebody call. Here am I. Somebody called Samuel. He didn't say, what? He said, here am I. I'm ready. I'm ready for your assistance. This is my role right now. I know that I'm called into this priestly service. I know my role now and my calling now is to be an assistant to Eli in all the small, small things. And so, even in these little areas where I can serve, even if it's at the late of the night, I am very ready to hear and to go attend. Here am I, Eli, what do you want? And so he went all the way to Eli. Very ready, very humble, very submissive. Here am I am ready to serve you because this is exactly my calling, to be the assistant to you. For thou hast called me, and he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And then you just observe, and the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, what did he say? Same things, same thing again, same expression. Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not my son, lie down again. In fact, the term lie down again is a command. It's two commands. Return, lie down. Just simply like that. So Eli was woke up. Basically, what do you want? Go back, I did not call you. Return, lay down. Second time, huh? Again, return, lay down. I did not call you. Now, third time, the same thing happened. You just imagine, third time, somebody calls Samuel. Here am I. How will you feel? Look at Samuel's response. Okay, this is amazing. He was very patient. He was very ready, even though the last two times Eli told him, I did not call you. And you realize that the third time in verse 8, he also said the same thing. Here am I, for thou didst call me. See that? Very ready, very submissive, very humble, very faithful, even though he is just simply the assistant to the high priest. And this is something that we can learn. You see, young Samuel, why did the Lord not call young Samuel earlier? Because being young, he was not ready. Having gone into the temple and having served there and having been faithful in the small things, now he will be ready for the bigger calling. The temple itself, maybe we can put it this way, actually serves as his Bible college, isn't it? To train him, to make him mature, to make him ready for the future calling, which is to be the prophet, which we will know after studying the book of 1 Samuel, that this calling which Samuel is given is not going to be one that is very easy, because somewhere down the line, he is going to receive the rejection of the people who will rebel against God because they wanted a king. The nation is supposed to be a theocracy, but they wanted their own human king, just like the other nations. And Samuel had to live with that. And Samuel had to remain faithful and to contend for the faith, even in that particular situation. Now, if even in the small things he could not handle, then when it comes to the real big test, he will surely be in trouble. And so the Lord used him, even in the temple service, to mold him, to groom him up, to cause him to mature so that he will be ready to receive this calling. And when the calling, and when the time of calling is here, now the Lord calls him, Samuel, Samuel. And that is exactly the meaning down here. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Now when the Bible says now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, please do not think that Samuel did not know the Lord in a salvific way. Here the term Samuel did not know the Lord is explained further by the clause that comes after. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. In other words, the Lord has not openly give that kind of open revelation to Samuel in what he's going to do after 1 Samuel chapter 3. And in that particular sense, the Lord Samuel did not know the Lord in that intimate way. Okay, and but now the time is for him to receive that calling. Now, another thing, let us take note from here is this. The one who calls is God. The one who calls is God himself, not any other person, not even a human king, but the one who calls is God. God is the one who personally called Samuel. Samuel did not call himself into the ministry. Samuel did not trust himself in, hey, look, I want to be a prophet, so therefore I call myself. And in fact, if you look at the scriptures and you will look at the various saints who serve the Lord, you will not find a single one which will say, I trust myself into the service. Each one of them, the Lord will personally call them. Now, some of them will be willing initially, like Samuel, like Isaiah. Some, they may have a little resistance, and then God will have to address that resistance. Like, for example, Moses, right? He came up with many excuses. Finally, when he says, Lord, send someone else, God was wroth with him, and then God said, oh, do you not have Aaron as your brother, right? He can be your spokesperson. Like you just go. Or you have Jonah, whereby God have to personally send a big fish, a whale, to swallow him up and to bring him back to Nineveh. Right. But what you will see is one thing, that those who are called into the faithful service did not thrust themselves into it. Oh, because I like, because I want, because I love to be in this particular area of service. No such thing. It's always, it's because the Lord appointed me, and because the Lord appointed me, so therefore I'm in this service, in this area of ministry, in this area of office. And that is something that we need to understand very well. We should not be seeking to thrust ourselves into areas of service, especially if it is not what the Lord has appointed us. What we will do is only to hurt ourselves and to hurt the people of God. So take note of this, right? It is God who called Samuel at the right time after he has been trained properly, even in the temple. Now he says, Samuel, Samuel. Verse 8. Eli would say, Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Now, why did Eli not perceive in the very beginning? Because as we already know in verse 1, it's already hinted to us that there was no open vision in those days. And so when something like this happened, initially Eli could not perceive that it was the Lord. But now after the third time, he was very sure. Okay, he perceived that the Lord, L-O-R-D, right, the covenant-keeping God, is the one that had called the child. Therefore, Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down. And this time, additional instructions, thou shalt say, speak, Lord. And so by this, Samuel already know who is the one that is speaking to him. It is not Eli, it is Jehovah himself who is speaking to him. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Now, when we talk about the word heareth in the Hebrew scriptures, as we have mentioned before, please do not just think that it's here one year in, one year out. Not this kind of hearing. Hear to receive, hear to obey. Okay, so in other words, just tell the Lord you are very ready to serve. I am ready to receive this calling because this is your divine appointment. So now speak. I am ready to listen. What do you want me to do? And then so Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called. See that? So it's very, the repeated conjunction and, telling us this is a very purposeful calling. The Lord was very deliberate in wanting to call Samuel. And the Lord came and stood. So the last few times, only the voice, Samuel. Second time, Samuel. Third time, Samuel. Fourth time, this time, the theophany, right? The Lord Jesus Christ in pre-incarnate form came and manifested himself before Samuel. So it's not just a voice this time around, right? He personally saw the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ himself came, right? You see, the Lord came physically and stood and called as at other times. And this time, double, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant hear. You see, very humble. He could have said other words, no, but he said exactly. You see, one thing you see about Samuel, exactly whatever Eli told him to say, he followed. As long as it's not contrary to God's word, right? This is what my teachers tell me. I just follow. I don't rebel and say, why must I say all these things? Just follow. Faithful to the authority which God has appointed above him. Very good sign of a clean vessel to be used by the Lord. Now, of course, this kind of call, please don't go out now and say that, oh, all of us go out now and then start seeking and hoping that the Lord will suddenly appear before us and then suddenly, one day, suddenly manifest before one of you and then say, John, John, I now want to call you into the faithful service of the Lord. Please don't go and think that only when you see the Lord Jesus Christ standing before you physically, then you are called. Right? Remember, everybody is called differently. And not everybody is called to be a prophet. Right? Just like today, not everybody is called to be a pastor, not everybody is called to be a preacher, not everybody is called to be an elder or a deacon. Everybody have their specific areas of service. Nevertheless, right, what is true is that if you're called to that particular service, you will definitely receive a personal call from God. And you will know. And you will just know. And it's something that is very mysterious. You have to experience it by yourself. You will have to pray. You have to read the Bible. You have to walk close to God. And as you walk close to God, and as you yearn to love Him with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, slowly God will push you. Will trust you out. Just like how He will trust laborers into the harvest field. He will trust you out into that particular area of service which He meant for you to serve. Okay, everybody's calling is different, and you will have to experience it. Like for myself, my calling, right, I remember very clearly that my calling of salvation and my calling to service was at the same day, whereby I was at the Life Church. I was in that particular pew, somewhere on the right-hand side, somewhere about the fifth or sixth pew from the front, and then I sat there, and then the choir was singing, "Only One Life to Offer, Jesus My Lord and King." Now, and during that day, not only did I receive the Lord as my Savior, I also received that calling to service. I can remember. So when I go there, I see that memorial stone. Now that is for me. I can't expect everyone here to have that same specific calling, a specific way of calling. So please, don't expect to see like the Lord Jesus Christ manifest himself and then you say, oh, then I know. Okay? Not this way. But what you will know is this, that if you are called to a specific area of service, it is the Lord who calls you. And when the Lord calls you, you cannot help it but go in. Even though you may not want to go in, but you still have to go in. And so therefore, one of the advice given to FEBC students sometimes, or FEBC, those who want to go into FEBC is this. You desire to go into FEBC, okay, when you talk about your calling, sometimes people will go, some seniors, some of the lecturers or some of those who are more senior, they will go about and they will say, don't go into ministry unless you can help it. Because it's true, because if you go into the full-time ministry, let's say, and then you're not meant to go into the full-time ministry, it's not God's calling for you, you will really suffer. But if it's really God's call for you to go into full-time ministry, even if you want to do other things, you know that God won't allow you to do it. You will still have to come back and go into the full-time ministry. That type of burden. You just cannot run away. In fact, that is not only applicable to the full-time ministry, but applicable to any areas of service that we are in, isn't it? Cannot run away. This is what the Lord has called me to do. And so first you have the call. But after that you have the call, then you have the performance of the faithful service, isn't it? The requirement and the performance. Look at verse 11. Now, and the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. Now, this word tingle, please do not think that it's just a nice bell, right? Ting, 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 ting in the ear. Okay, this tingle has the understanding of quake. Right? The ears will quake because the news that is being received is very distressing, it's very depressing, it's very terrible. So, Samuel, this is what I'm going to do. Well, I do not know if you're young Samuel and he was a teenager during those days, how he will feel. What? You're going to do something terrible? And what you want me to do now? In that day, I will perform against Eli all things, take note of the word, all, everything which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. In other words, when I begin to judge him, and it will happen, and when he sees the beginning of judgment, he must know that I will surely bring the things that I mentioned from the very beginning, what I have spoken, even unto the very last word of judgment which I have spoken against him, everything will come into fulfillment. Please do not let him think that any single part of my prophecy will fail. Okay, it will surely come to pass. No doubt about it. I am true and faithful, not just only to my promises, but also to my judgments. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vow, right, wicked, and he restrained them not. See, this was the event that he was being judged for. We have studied that before. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. This means that this particular sin and iniquity which is committed by Eli and the sons is so grievous that the death penalty is sure. No matter how many sacrifices you give before the Lord, you cannot avoid the death penalty. Now, if you are young Samuel and this was told to you, and the Lord says, this is the thing that I want you to speak to Eli, how will you feel? Eli has been my spiritual mentor. All along I have been submissive to him, so long as it's nothing to against God's word. He has looked after me. He is the one that has nourished me and brought me up, right? Because from the very beginning he was brought into the temple. It was Eli who looked after him. Now, you, Lord, ask me to pronounce all these kind of judgments against my spiritual mentor? Don't you know who he is, Lord? He is the high priest. I'm just nothing. I'm just his assistant. And yet, this is exactly the test which young Samuel must pass. This is the test. Because he is called to be a prophet. And what is required of the prophet is this. Whatever God asks you to say, you must say. Some of us, we think that it's very easy, isn't it? But you try this, you put yourself in the situation. Just imagine you have to go to somebody very powerful and then say, judgment is upon you. You don't just talk about these things. You talk about, for example, we go into a taxi. And then we want to share a track. And then we know, right, that all of us, we are called to share the good news of Jesus Christ, isn't it? And then when we want to share the good news of Jesus Christ, even to the taxi driver, what happens to our heart? Boom, 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 boom. Yes? Do we fear? Are we scared? Or when we go door to door and then we knock, are we scared? Oh, come on. Even till today, I go to the door and knock, I am also scared. Even Paul himself, when he says that we go about preaching the the word of God. He himself was scared, and he himself have the Lord have to come and then to assure him, Paul, fear not. Stop fearing. But this was exactly the test which Samuel have to pass. This is exactly the performance and the requirement of faithful service. What the Lord asks you to do, you just do. Don't move away from what God has asked you to do. Don't be derelict in your duty. This is what God asks you to do. And so therefore, look at young Samuel. Remember, this is a young teenager, okay, young boy. So all the teens here, take note. This is not just a grown-up man. This is a young teen, just like you, right? You all who are in school. Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Of course, naturally, he will fear. Now, something very interesting in the text you see here. Then Eli called Samuel. See that? Then Eli called Samuel. It's not Samuel go to Eli. He feared, and then he managed to still somehow bring himself to go to Eli and tell. It was not of Samuel's own initiative. Do you see that here? Right? Because he was just young. He was just starting out in the particular ministry which the Lord has given to him. And then Eli called Samuel. So Eli himself personally have to call Samuel. And then said, Samuel, my son. Wow, this must really break his heart. Samuel, my son. Wow, what a dear term of affection. And he answered again, Hineni, here am I. Wow, you see, here am I again. Verse 17. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? So Eli himself personally said that. I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of not some, not most, but all the things that he say unto thee. In other words, everything, every single detail, every single word, every single syllable which the Lord has told you to speak, you better not keep it away from me, thinking that because you keep it from me and then you offend me, in fear of offending me, everything will be alright. Because God sees, God knows, this is what God has appointed you to do. And if you do not do what God has appointed you to do, you can be sure that the judgment of God will be on you. And for a prophet, it is very serious. God do so, and more also. The blood is on your hands if you do not speak, if you do not rebuke, if you do not discharge the burden which God has given to you. Did Samuel pass the test? Now, this time now, Eli helped him in the sense that Eli was the one who prompted him to say, will Samuel hold anything back? Thank God, he passed the test. And Samuel told him every whit. Every whit really means everything. All the things. Exactly the same expression that you see in verse 17. All the things. Samuel told him all the things. And hid not one thing from him. Exactly as what is required of one who is called to be a prophet. He passed the test of faithful service. And Eli said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. Eli accepted the judgment. This was the first test, first requirement, first performance of his duty of faithful service. And he passed it. And that is exactly what faithful service is all about, isn't it? The one that is closest to the prophet in today's context would probably be the pastor or the preacher, the one who is supposed to declare God's word. When he declares God's word, God says in the Bible that he should declare the whole counsel of God. And when we talk about the Bible, just like the prophet, it reveals things that are written in the past, so he will do forthtelling. And in the Bible, you also have things that deals with prophecy, things in the future, foretelling. So both forthtelling and foretelling, he has to. And God says, The whole counsel of God's word, you are supposed to speak. You are supposed to teach all doctrines. You are not supposed to hide any doctrines from the people, from the congregation, from those who come to hear the word of God. And so, anyone who comes and then says, oh, I do not want to teach this particular doctrine. I want to hide it. I don't want to speak out my burden, the burden which the Lord has given to me. Why? Because I scared I lose my rice bowl. I scared I will be vilified by the people. I scared that they will reject me. Really has failed the test, the requirement, the performance of faithful service. He failed. And not just the preacher or the pastor or the teacher. You talk about any area of service which the Lord has given to you, whether be it the elder, whether be it a deacon, or even perhaps even the logistics down here. You are called to perform the logistics. This is your function. And you know what are the requirements and what are the spiritual requirements for you to for example, set up the logistics, or to head a committee, or to be a member of a committee even. And the Lord has called you. And you know that the Lord has called you. And sometimes in the areas of service, in order to be faithful to what the Lord has called us to do, would sometimes require us to put extreme toil, extreme sweat. And not just that, perhaps in the performance of this duty, we may even grow to be unpopular. People may oppose us. People may vilify us. People may persecute us when we want to perform the duty according to the way that God wants. And when that happens, that will be the exact same test as what you will see here that is experienced by Samuel. And when that test comes, question is, will we pass that test? Will we pass that test? If we go through and we do our service or perform the service to the Lord, going by the basis that, oh, when I perform this service, I must make sure that it has the right opinion of men, that people are happy with me and I'm popular, then very soon you will fail this test that is given down here, because this test could very easily make Samuel very unpopular. But Samuel passed the test. And what is the result of faithful service? Well, you see, verses 19 to 21. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. Now, this one, did let none of the words fall to the ground, is very significant. Number one, it tells us this, that after this particular event, Samuel indeed grew both physically and spiritually, and not only just that, he continued to perform that very function of the prophet which God has called him to do. He did not stop. And that's what you have here. Did let none of his words fall to the ground. He indeed did speak. But not only did he speak, but what he spoke must have been according to what God has wanted him to speak. Otherwise, the Lord would not have said that firstly, the Lord was with him, and secondly, that the Lord let none of his words fall to the ground, just like seed that is scattered to the ground and then later be eaten up and then is useless. All of the words that he speak, the Lord make sure it did not return back to the Lord void, that it bear fruit in the lives of the people, that the word was received. How did that happen? Because Samuel was faithful in the discharge of what God has called him to do. He performed the duty which the Lord has appointed to him. And so long as, number one, we know where exactly God is serving, and number two, as long as we remain faithful to what the Lord has called to serve, we can be very sure that the Lord will be with us. Why wouldn't he? Because that is what he has called you to do. And what else do you need besides the Lord? Nothing else, isn't it? Because this God, Jehovah himself, is he not the omnipotent, the omnipresent, the omniscient God? Is he not the holy God? Is he not the just God? Is he not the God of truth? Is he not the loving God? Is he not the gracious God? Is he not the merciful God? Is he not our rock? Is he not our high tower? Is he not our savior? This Lord is with us so long as we abide in what he called us to do. And that is all we need, isn't it? And that is the promise that we can have. You take a look at Samuel. Samuel continued to be faithful after this first test. And that he needed to pass the small one. Later on, he will have bigger ones because it will involve more people. This first test he passed, and then he continued ministering the same way based upon this same principle. My call as a prophet is to speak all that the Lord has called me to speak. I must speak everything, not more, not less. He abide by the same principle, and the Lord bless him and use him mightily for the service of God. And not only just that, you look at verse 20. And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba. Now Dan would be the northernmost part of the nation of Israel. Beersheba will be the southernmost part of the nation of Israel. Okay, they knew, right? They knew in their hearts, and they are very sure that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Now, what we have here is also this. Not only did the Lord bless the ministry of Samuel, the Lord also established the ministry which he has given to Samuel. He was established to be a prophet of the Lord, meaning he received a public affirmation of his call. Now, one thing that we will see as we go through the book of 1 Samuel, whether be it Samuel, whether be it Saul, and in fact, when we come to Saul, we will see, right, this very clear. David also is this. When we talk about the call to any area of service, there will always be two. Number one, the personal call. The person himself will know is between him and the Lord. And number two, if this is true, it will always manifest itself by a public call, a public affirmation. In this case, the public, right, the general populace, whether they like it or not, they knew that Samuel was one who was called by God to be a prophet. And it's the Lord himself who established him, and not man, not himself. God is the one. One thing that you will examine if you look through the scriptures is this. If you examine the prophets of the Bible, sometimes when they speak, they are not accepted by the people. They are rejected by the people because the words they speak sometimes are words of judgment. But very strangely, one thing you will never find in the scriptures is this. They would never say that this person is not a prophet of the Lord. Never. They may reject them. They may say, I don't want to hear you. They may send you back, like even in Amos chapter 7, right? When Amos went to preach to the northern kingdom, he came from the south. The northern kingdom, the king said, go back to the south and preach, or don't come and preach here, because when you preach here, right, in battle, this is the king's court, this is the king's temple, the king is the arbiter of the religion. Don't preach here, you go. But he never said, if you examine carefully, he never ever said that Amos was not a prophet. They knew, they just didn't want to hear, they rejected. Same for Samuel. They knew that Samuel was a prophet. Later on, because they wanted a human king, they would reject the words of Samuel, but they will never, in fact, towards the end, they even affirm that Samuel was faithful in his service until the very end. And so you have both the personal as well as the public affirmation. And therefore you see, verse 19, how the Lord established Samuel in the ministry. In the ministry of the prophet. And none of the steps was taken by Samuel. Yes, he fulfilled his human responsibility in the discharge of the prophet. But notice, not once did he say, I want to be a prophet, but I am here as a prophet because the Lord established me. That is very important. And so what are the elements of faithful service? First, you have that call, the call of God. You know that this is the place where God has called you to serve. You know where it is. And once you know where it is, you must know how exactly to serve. And you perform exactly the requirements which God has laid upon you, the burden which God has given to you, that you perform to the fullest of your duty. Don't slack. Be very diligent. Right? Discharge that duty. And then when you discharge the duty, the result of that faithful service, which you will see here, the people will be blessed. And the people will be able to see that indeed, this is the area of service which the Lord has called you to. And not only just that, but you are faithful in that area of service. What is faithful service? How to serve faithfully? Young Samuel is a very good example for us to follow. Let us pray. Most gracious Father in heaven, how we thank thee for thy word which you have given to us. And this word you have given to us for our profit, for our learning. And we thank thee what you have taught us today from thy word concerning service. Help us therefore to abide in thy truth, and may thou even find it pleasing to help us continue to serve thee faithfully in whatever area of service thou hast called us to. Hear thou our humble cry. In Jesus' most blessed name we pray. Amen.